pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, hour number three underway. We always appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. You know the text line. Hit it up when possible. Also, coming up on the program today in about a half hour, our official Democrat response to the program, former Congressman Parker Griffith. So please stick around for that. Joining us now, I thought it was appropriate to bring on this next gentleman as things are winding down in Montgomery for the 2021 legislative year. Sunny day, as I say. But we're bringing on former State Senator Rusty Glover. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Just fine. Good morning, Jeff. Doing fine.
Thanks for taking time. We really appreciate it. I guess formalities and getting the last day of the legislative calendar done. Typically, what does that entail? You see a lot of, I know a lot of traditions and things like that, but it's a lot of it's just getting the budget done. And it looks like the Alabama House just voted 93-0 to approve the general fund budget just now.
Okay.
But that seems to be getting those things squared away.
Yes, and generally you'll have I'd say maybe once or twice it was a big slowdown and not very much was done the last day. But generally there's probably 400 or 500 bills out there just sitting, and they're eligible. You know, gone through the committee process and they're waiting to be floor action. And usually there'll be 40 to 75 or so bills that are passed on the last day, which is dangerous. 90% of them are non-controversial, but that 10%, you never can tell. And it's always a scramble to try to read the bills because you don't know what's going to be coming up till the special order calendar is adopted. And so it kind of gets a little scary. And the problem is, yes, you can slow it down, but what happens is you jeopardize, and they craft the calendar in such a way that the bills that you really want, for instance, SB 10, that's Senator Shelnut's bill dealing with banning the sterilization of the kids, that bill is so important. So you want to make sure you get to that and you don't filibuster and to the point where you don't get to that bill. And I remember over the years that, you'd find out, the unintended consequences of some of these bills that are passed on the last day when they go into effect. Weeks after they go into effect, constituents call you. And fortunately, I think I only had one bill. When I looked them back up, it's always just sigh of relief. Yes, I voted against that bill. I remember it and I voted against it. But I remember one. It was one that I think it was when I was in the House, maybe our first or second year, and it was voted unanimously, but it had an adverse effect on the people, and it was just such a rush that you read the synopsis, you read as much into the bill before the roll call, and it gets dangerous. It's not a good situation, but that's Sunny Die Day. That's what happens generally every year.
What's the something significant like that you could point to where it's like they sneaked it across the goal line almost?
I'm trying to think. I try to forget some of those bills. I can't really think of really any major bills, but it was just little things like it might be a tax
right.
In the bill, and that irritates people. And fortunately, I look back, I did vote against it. Good. Cause I was able to catch that there was a tax in the bill. And, or it may be some regulation that adversely affects a business. And I look back, good. I did vote against that one. And, but right now, what you're going to see probably in the next 3 or 4 hours, you're going to see a lot of, the House watching the Senate and the Senate watching the House for slowdowns. The House wants those House bills that are up to be voted on passed. And the Senate wants those bills in the Senate that have passed the House, they want those passed. And when there's a slowdown, generally leads to the other House slowing down too. So we're not going to pass those bills unless y'all get started. And it's a way of motivating the other House to pass the bills that they desperately want to get passed. Because remember, this is like 2 years worth of bills because of the shutdown last year that they're trying to get these bills passed today. And like I said, Senate Bill 10 is just so important to get passed. And now the Senator Orr's bill about the passport You know, I think it was watered down in committee to such an extent that it lost a lot of the momentum. And a lot of folks that were really pushing hard for that bill have lost interest because there's so many exceptions that were unacceptable. And so I think they're going to probably look at that one maybe in the next session, maybe, which is a long time from now. But that's, but it did lose a lot of steam.
Well, you know, talk about the House and the Senate, and you know, how they work in concert with one another. I know there's always friction between the two chambers. That's a given. That's just, it's like that in every state house in America between the two chambers. But I don't think we talk a lot about it. You assume that, a lot of times we assume because it's all Republicans and they're all the same, and that because of that, then there's, you know, everything is peace and harmony. But behind the scenes, it does seem like this, at least we've seen it more this session than we had this quadrennium. I feel like a lot of friction, well, maybe the exception to the very end of the 2020 session, but it seems like there is some underlying friction there between the two chambers.
Yeah, I haven't seen it as much this year, but you're right. The end of last session, when it looked like the governor was teaming, I believe it was the governor was teaming up to the House to throw the senators under the bus. That was pretty traumatic towards the end of last year's session. But yeah, I haven't really seen it. Of course, not being up there, you don't see. And you know, I thought I believe it was last week that Bill Britt was on the program, and he talked about how the lack of lobbyists being present in the hallways, working between the houses, that's not there this year. And he mentioned a couple of bills that did not pass. And he said that, you know, and I think there's a lot of truth in that. Whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think the fact that the lobbyists not being there that are, you know, it made a big difference. And I think a lot of constituents are out there and people listening and think, well, that's a great thing, but it's a great thing unless they're people that are representing you up there. I mean, you have folks that you will agree with wholeheartedly, and those people that you will be very much against, they're representing people up there. And with them not being able to be in the state house, it made it difficult for a lot of coordination between the two houses. And I really hadn't heard that very much this year, but he brought that out, and I think it's a very significant factor in some situations where some bills made it and didn't make it.
Well, I tell you, this is always, I think, pretty much an annual thing where the guys in the House feel like the little brother. You know, the guys in the Senate kind of walk around with a little swagger to them. But so there's always that animosity that exists. You know, it just is what it is. It's like an upperclassman thing. I don't know how to describe it, but these last few years, though, you do hear a lot of griping behind the scenes from members of the Senate about how slow things are moving in the House, and just you know, that the House is dictating the tempo, and that is rubbing those guys in the upper chamber the wrong way.
Right. Well, you know, it's traditionally, you always heard that the Senate was the deliberative body, and now it's pretty much the Senate. And a lot of that is the, you know, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, the Speaker McCullough, he is allowing a lot of debate on the floor. Whereas, you know, when we Republicans took over both houses of the legislature after the 2010 election, that 2011 session, we were cloturing, the Democrats right after the other. I mean, 40 or 50 cloturers seemed like. I mean, we were cloturing four or five times a day. Whereas they do that on occasion, and they have to this year. But most nights, they'll go up into the, you know, late night, and they may go all day and not pass but, you know, seven or eight bills. And I know that's frustrating for the senators, and they're, you know, they're passing bills left and right, and there's agreement between the Republicans and Democrats in the Senate to allow these bills pass, so that you say we'll get four of your bills on the calendar if you just have a smooth day and we get through all the business in 4 hours. And that happens a lot in the Senate, and it happened probably in the last quadrennium that I was in the Senate. I mean, and a lot of that deals with the pro tem, Dale Marsh, worked with the Democrats very well to have things move smoothly through the Senate. And I think that Senator Reid does the same, to move things quick through the Senate. And not so quick that you don't know what's going on and you don't know what the bill is. But there's debate, of course, but you're not having these long, strung-out filibusters as you do see in the House.
Well, and that's the other thing, watching the other night with the medical marijuana and I guess the hope that never came to be with getting something on gaming later that evening, that Republicans won't cloture their own party. That tradition, I don't know how much longer that's going to stand if things proceed as they are, but it seems to me to be kind of a very fragile a principle, if you will.
Yes, and it is. It is traditional. You don't quote your own party. And I remember back after we took control, while we were still in the minority, we had five or six Democrats that were on our side, and had they voted with the other Democrats, they would have cloture us. They had the votes to cloture us over and over again, but they were not going to cloture their own. And so that's kind of a tradition that's been set, you know, years and years back. Even when the legislature was predominantly Democrat, it just wasn't a lot of clotures that took place.
That was my next question.
But it does hurt feelings.
That was my next question. Do you ever remember a time when the Democrats cloture themselves back when they controlled? Because the problem with that tradition, I get it, and there's more of an even divide, but you got Republicans with a super majority of a lot of old Democrats that are now Republicans,
right.
That system and that tradition, I would get it if you had more of an ideological presence in two sides of the aisle, but you don't have that. You have one party rule, and becomes something that a tool that maybe ought to be considered, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think to some extent, you know, there were some closures that went on, but usually that would be Hank Sanders would be up there speaking, and he would get everybody to cloture him so that Republicans couldn't get up there and speak. You know, it was kind of a sneaky backdoor cloture, but that did happen when we were in the minority quite a bit. I mean, not quite a bit. I'd say you know 7 or 8 times it happened, but I don't really see it it happening because you know, so many eyes are watching. Republican eyes are watching. You don't want to be in a I don't know how many primary voters are actually watching what's going on and paying attention or not, but I would think that there was a lot of attention drawn to a Republican cloturing another Republican, you know, doing the good fight, you know, slowing down a bill or whatnot. That would make an effect. But you're right. I don't think that there's a lot of attention by the primary voters of what's happening, the day-to-day work of the session. But I honestly don't see that ending, that tradition.
It's fascinating. I didn't realize that was such a. It was probably a custom, but it's more than a custom. It's just taboo. I know that they were thinking about it. Or there was closer to petition that was circulating on the floor from some Republican members, but it never saw the light of day. And this tradition stands.
Right. And they try. You'll have a few Republicans that are very upset about their bill being filibustered, or they have a bill down the calendar, 3 or 4 bills down the calendar. They want to get to it before midnight, and yes, they want to cloture so they can get to that bill. But somebody signs that cloture petition, they may get their bill filibustered the next time, even if it's a non-controversial bill. And so those kind of little things and retribution tend to dissuade cloturing your own.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break, but as always, we thank you for making time for us.
Yeah, I'll be staying up late watching tonight. It should be interesting the last few hours and see what gets done. And it's great to be with y'all today.
Thank you. As will I. Former State Senator Rusty Glover on the program and show favorite. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Cotton on the roadside.
dried cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich.